640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
An Ohio jury has ordered a woman to pay damages to a football player that she had accused of rape.
Cleveland.com reports a civil jury has found a woman liable for malicious prosecution in a rape allegation she made against former Ohio State football standout Gary Ann Conley more than 5 years ago. The accusation against Conley came shortly before the 2017 NFL draft, in which he had been projected to be a high first-round pick. The 23-year-old woman alleged that he had sexually assaulted her in a Cleveland hotel room. Conley's attorney said the sex was consensual. He asked for just $300 in damages. The jury agreed. I'm Norman Hall.
Former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is set to return to office. Some wonder if he'll use the opportunity to push legislation to erase some of his legal troubles. Netanyahu is on trial for corruption. I'm Jackie Quinn, AP News.
Everybody.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Home heating bills in Wisconsin are going up this winter. Experts say there are steps you can take to reduce the impact. Mike Moen has more.
The Energy Information Administration predicts that Midwest households that rely on natural gas will spend an average of $1,000 on heating bills this winter. That's a 33% increase over last year. Whitney Hayes of the energy nonprofit Elevate agrees the region will see cost headaches in the coming months.
We're expecting gas prices to continue to go up this winter because of things like the war in Ukraine, and we're still doing a lot of recovery from COVID and shipping and supply shock and whatnot. So
she advises that small things such as making sure there's air sealing around windows and doors can produce savings on your bill. And energy experts say electric heat pumps have come down in price and are now more reliable in extremely cold weather. David Collada of the Citizens Utility Board agrees that heat pumps are a strong alternative to natural gas, but he stresses they still might be out of reach for low-income households and that policymakers need to offer more incentives to make them accessible to everyone. Meanwhile, he says maximizing these options will make a difference.
And if you take advantage of this program and then you seal cracks in windows and maybe install energy efficient light bulbs, all of that works together holistically.
For those worried about their heat being disconnected this winter, most Midwestern states have cold weather rules, which require utilities to offer a payment arrangement to avoid that scenario.
Budget billing programs don't save you money over the course of a year, but they smooth out your payments, so you pay less in the winter and more in the summer.
Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Chris Jakimick. I served in the United States Air Force, and I deployed 3 times. So in 2017, I was serving as an Air Force First Sergeant. Our motto in that role is, my job is people, everyone is my business. But unfortunately, in that year, I would lose my own brother, Lance Corporal Adam Jakimick, to suicide. The majority of veteran suicides are from guns. I store my weapons securely, not only for myself, but for my family. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide. My service never stops.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You've kept up with the times. For example, you're fluent in texting.
Honey, what does IDTTSWA mean?
It means I'm going to the store, want anything.
If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org for a quick 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. And it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Check out aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out DevilRadio927.com. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil Advocates Radio Show, rolling into the happy hour, the Friday edition. We air the grievances. My grievance, a special counselor. I wanted to go straight to the indictments. I wanted to declare this Merrick Garland Day up in here. But anyways, gonna get a better man than you to talk about it, Dom. Yeah. We got our good friend, former U.S. Attorney James Santelli. He's joining us right now live via Zoom. He is also the host of his own big show. You're going to want to tune in tomorrow morning as he goes inside Morning Cannolis, 9 to 11 a.m. across the Civic Media Network, originating from the Shaw, W-A-U-K. Jim, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates, man. You always move with alacrity, sir.
Hey, Jim. You know, we do what we need to do, especially for an appearance on this important program. So glad to be with both of you.
Jim, first reaction. I know you had sent a first blush, and I've been talking about the fact this just seems like another unnecessary step in the process, a time-eating step in a process. And ultimately, if I understand, I'm only going by a column by Jennifer Rubin, but if the special counselor ultimately doesn't have ultimate charging decision, if the ultimate charging decision comes back to the attorney general, well, what are you asking your buddy? I mean, do you need to cheat off his homework, or can you just do your own work and get to the indictments already, Merrick Garland? Your thoughts, counselor.
Right. And perhaps in a way that harkens back to history once again, you know, we've been down this road before. And again, I begin by saying that I have great respect for this attorney general. At the same time, I was surprised to hear that for a couple of reasons, some of which have been articulated by my now former colleagues, also former U.S. attorneys under a prior administration, including a woman named Barbara McQuaid, a great friend and colleague of mine, who also said time. Time is everything. And I think that's what is implicit, if not explicit, in your question, Mike, which is that we have now been focusing on this for nearly 2 years. We knew in the afternoon of January 6th that something horrific had happened. We didn't know all the dimensions of it, but we've been investigating this presumably in all its dimensions, or nearly all its dimensions, for 2 years. I am concerned that the insertion of a special counsel here, admittedly coming in the midst of an investigation, admittedly charged with doing this as quickly as possible, nonetheless, for the reasons you've identified and others have identified, may in fact slow this down when the calendar tells us the big story, which is January 2025. We don't know if this present administration will continue beyond then, but we basically have two years in which to prosecute. And to the extent that this may extend that time period for the review, the investigation, the prosecution memorandum, all of this gives me great pause about the timing of this and the possibility that it might be delayed in some way. Hopefully that won't be the case, but that is the concern I think that many of us have on the outside looking in.
Jim, you know I'm chock full of inarticulate crudeism, so far be it for me to split the infinitive with Dominic, but
there's one.
The impropriety, the statement that, you know, the appearance of impropriety has...
Avoiding even the appearance of impropriety, Jim.
But right. What impropriety has gone on to this point? There's always going to be accusations of political witch hunt. So this is bad vocabulary and someone taking the bait.
Right. And that's, I think, the much related concern that I think I and others have out there, which is just this. I know the attorney general said because both Donald Trump has announced his candidacy and the incumbent has also indicated that he is going to run, that for that reason, it's appropriate for me to put this arm's length decision making process at the arm's length and go down this road. Your point cannot be overstated, which is that's what the role of the Department of Justice is, to be an impartial investigator through the FBI, its other many agencies, to be impartial and apolitical when it comes to making these decisions. We ask this of U.S. attorneys and assistant U.S. attorneys every single day of every single week, 7 days a week, to make these judgment calls, many of which are not in the political arena. I get that. And yes, this is at the top of that list. But nonetheless, we do this all the time. And so this notion that somehow there is going to be this perceived wild perception of impropriety. Yes, there will be the attacks. We've already seen them from Donald Trump arguing about this. If we go down that road and consistently say that anytime there's a politically related investigation and possible prosecution of a candidate, we can't be doing that without appointing a special counsel, then we're carving out a huge amount of responsibility that's never been there before with the Department of Justice. There are people who can do this work. They do it all the time. They're doing it now. And so once again, with due respect, I'm very concerned about the predicates for this, the timing of it. And again, we've got the functionality, if you will, to do this now. Go ahead with it.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney. Man, you know, I love you, Jim, but what? Carve out a big spot. I mean, this is a very specific case. I mean, right, we have an attorney general appointed by the current president who would be the presumable running opponent of the guy who just announced who's been being investigated. I mean, there's not very many pegs that'll fit in those holes, man. You know what I mean? I don't think that's a huge carve out, Jim.
Well, and to the extent that you're right, as I said, it's at the top of the list, certainly, because you are going to be making decisions premised upon, again, what the evidence shows.
Sure.
Point that I would make once again, that's the kind of thing the Department of Justice is required to do. And is should we be doing this in a situation where because every single pundit tonight and for the next several months is going to be talking about this, that's what drives the decision about how the process works. We've talked a lot on this very good broadcast about the importance of having a separation between the White House and the Department of Justice. I looked at this particular Department of Justice and I see Joe Biden consistently saying, I don't know what's going on over there, not in a bad way, but in a good way. And I think that again, this Department of Justice has established in its admittedly infancy, it's 2 years, has established a record that doesn't smack of the kind of political movement that you would otherwise anticipate. Gosh, the fact that we've spent all this time investigating suggests that there is a very meticulous, thoughtful way of addressing all of this. And so, yes, top of the list. But again, my own sense is that this is something that the Department of Justice can do. And again, I get back to this concept of time. I hope that this does not delay things. Yeah.
Jim, I think there's also, you know, there's the stink of the last Justice Department administration. I mean, Bill Barr certainly did not do all those things that you think that the current attorney general is doing, right? So given that, I think he needs to be the Department of Justice specifically, knowing what Garland inherited over there from Barr. This isn't for you or I. This certainly isn't for the mega. I mean, this is for the American people who don't want to see, and maybe not dialed in as much, and don't do this every day and care as much as we care, and lots of things to pull people's directions and priorities. Totally understandable,
right?
But I can understand how they would be concerned, or the general population could be concerned, as I would be if I saw all of a sudden, oh my gosh, we don't want to see a Department of Justice prosecuting the former executive just for political reasons, and because now he's running, right? That's you got to be very careful about that. And given the from what I've heard of Mr. Jack Smith, sounds like he's dialed in, man. This guy sounds like a bulldog. And given all those circumstances, I mean, if we lose a week, maybe
it's more than a week. Tell him, Jim.
What do you think? How much time are you really thinking, given this guy's qualifications?
Right. I am really hesitant to speculate on that because I don't know about the extent to which things like, is he going to be bringing in some of his own colleagues and staff? Plainly, we recall when Mueller came in, assembled his own staff. We know that there's a significant amount of staff already inside the Department of Justice been working on this. If he walks in and maybe brings a few people in and otherwise has to get up to speed, it may be a matter of weeks. And so maybe my time concern is not quite as great under that circumstance. On the other hand, there is a sense in which we're, again, changing not bosses, but we're restructuring the way that we're supervising all of this. And that will take some time along the way. To your first point, again, I concur in that notion that the public should have confidence in whatever decision is made here. My concern is simply that this is about some civics instruction once again, which we often do on this podcast, the law school too. That again, this is the what we had in the last administration was the aberration and not the rule. Under prior Republican and Democratic administrations, you did not, with some small, I realize again, we've got Richard Nixon, Donald Trump as huge problems. But for the most part, throughout our history, we have had departments of justice that have been independent, have made these good decisions along the way, and done so without the kind of public outrage that we saw in the last administration. And again, I think we need to get back to that normalcy, if you will, where you've got a Department of Justice that people can trust and know that the chief executive is not picking up the phone and calling the attorney general and saying, what are you doing to prosecute my political enemies? We're living in the wake of that. So maybe this is plainly Merrick Garland's attempt to address that concern in the wake of history. We need to find a way to get back to normalcy when the Department of Justice can do this as a matter of course. That's its assignment. That's the rule of law assignment that every attorney general has.
Jim Santel, do you know Jack Smith?
I do not know. I've heard of him because, of course, his overseas engagement. And as Tom, as you just said, wow, incredibly well experienced here, truly knows what he's talking about. So no concern about that at all. And perhaps if there's anybody out there who can move in, he knows the Department of Justice, knows how prosecutions work, knows how investigations work. He can move in as swiftly as anybody on the, more than anybody on the face of the planet can. So that's not the concern. It's just these other institutional issues that give me pause tonight.
Jim, would it be Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice seeking prosecution ultimately if this special counselor Jack Smith says there's there, it still goes right back to Merrick Garland, does it not?
It does. If we follow the pattern of the Mueller investigation, which is, again, if you will, a recommendation, ultimate charging authority, as you said a few moments ago, would still rest with the attorney general. And again, hopefully not extending that too much in terms of time, but it does, it accomplishes things positively, but also raises those other timing issues.
James Santel, I want it now. Come back with us. We'll do a little Veruca Salt and talk more with Jim Santel.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out The Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to The Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Lows level off around 36 tonight. Under cloudy skies, southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers, high of 41. 26 tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. Low 40s Monday, upper 40s Tuesday, with a chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open. We'll get to you in just a bit at 844-967-2789. Our pal, Scott Ross, he's a firebrand. He's on Twitter, and he is also known as Mr. Ethics and a friend of the Devil's Advocates. Scott, thanks for sticking around, man. This Brad Path, man, I mean, it was... And for a guy like Van Orden to become a congressman is just so offensive to me. And I want to get your sense. And we've had this conversation, but I always love your take, Scott. That's why you're here, man. DCCC versus Ben Wickler and the national Dems, the local Dems. You know, Brad, you know, putting up a great fight, coming so close. Man, what could have been? Scott, what's your sense? Who do you blame on that one?
Okay, so I've been here since I moved here in 1997, so I'm a newcomer. And I have consistently seen, when it comes to House races in the state of Wisconsin, Democrats get left behind by the National Democratic contingency, DCCC, the House Majority PAC. You know, I mean, they're not even putting up fights against guys like, you know, Brian Stile and Gallagher, because they're considered to be, you know, in quote unquote safe seats, which is ridiculous, especially the way the first was redrawn. But when it came to the Brad Path versus Van Orden race, the malpractice, you know, I mean, any Democrat who donates to the DCCC who's from Wisconsin is a moron at this point, because they have never delivered for us. And this one is so offensive. You know, Derek Van Orden was at the terrorist insurrection. He was on the main grounds. He lied about it. He was, you know, he bragged in a book about sexually harassing women when he was in the military. He is on probation for trying to take a gun onto a plane. He attacked a teenage LGBTQ woman out in Western Wisconsin. And then I don't know if you guys know the story. He was in a library. And so he proceeded to then check out every LGBTQ book because they so offended him. He didn't want anybody to have access to it. And then on top of it, I'm forgetting one of the things, but these are all the things for this guy. Like, he's just wholly unfit. He refused to debate Brad Path.
Right.
You know, he was a chicken on top of it. And the idea that this is a seat that was held by Ron Kind for 26 years. You know, I used to work for Ron. like way back, you know, many, many, many years ago, after he was fully established as a member of Congress, but not vulnerable, so anything I did wouldn't get him thrown out of office, right?
Very important.
You know, and Brad worked for him. And the thing about it is you had this terrorist insurrectionist up against Brad wasn't some guy who just fell off the turnip truck. He's a former aide to kind. He was a former Obama appointee for agriculture. He's a state senator currently. And the idea that the DCCC and the House Majority PAC reneged on the commitment for $2 million in television in a race that was lost by a hair. It's just, you know, and the thing is, the thing that's so upsetting about it is you didn't have to have some sort of nuanced policy debate over whose healthcare, whose healthcare plan was better. You had a terrorist insurrectionist. And we were actually out there and I helped film some ads, you know, that Brad put up. We got the, you know, we had these guys, three Vietnam veterans and a guy from Desert Storm. And like, we asked them their reaction to when they saw that Derek Van Orten was at the terrorist insurrection that he's running for Congress. They wanted to tear his head off. You know, one guy said something that I can't even repeat on air. you know, and I, you know, the idea he was just there, he would have been one of the most, he had to be one of the most vulnerable members. And it was a seat that Democrats held for 26 years. And they left Brad and they left Wisconsin high and dry. And I don't think that should ever be forgotten about it. And I know Mark Pocan was frustrated as hell about that. And he articulated there was a story in the Journal Sentinel where both Mark and Congressional Representative Gwen Moore out of Milwaukee were both like, this is garbage. Ron Kind was angry about it. And then I got to pop off. So that was fun because like I, you know, I nobody's paying my bills out of the DCCC and they failed us. They completely and totally failed us, you know, and, you know, I hate to see a Democrat lose, especially in a tight race, but you know, the head of the DCCC, Sean Maloney, actually lost his race in New York City. Yeah. And there's some of us who like, you know, unless that's the deciding vote, you know, for keeping the House majority, good riddance, you know? But that's a thing like, and it gets back to the first thing that you were talking about, Mike, which is we've got, you know, Democrats have to have accountability towards these clowns. And that is using aspects like the radio because every community doesn't have a newspaper anymore, you know, but every county has a radio station. Everybody who turns on their radio dial can hear something and providing that, you know, accountability, not 3 weeks before the election when you just throw up a bunch of ads, but throughout the year, throughout the 2 year cycle yeah. is something that Democrats are utterly and completely failing on. And I only say that because I had skin in the game because at One Wisconsin Now, we did accountability and we found stuff out about Republicans who were violating our values. And we got that into the press because it is important because people who vote tend to be older. And those people still get their news from radio, from television, and from newspapers. And so leaving that cheddar on the table and not, you know, not put something in there because you can't buy it, you know, you got to get your people on the air. You got to get those contrasts made. You got to show the difference between them and us.
That Scott, I don't want to interrupt this fine conversation, but I got a few more questions. Our fine guest, Scott Ross, for a few more minutes. Scott, a two-parter to close out the segment. Gerrymandering. Does the state Supreme Court, and if we can just get someone who's not a conservative elected, could that change the outcome? And second part, citizen referendum. Scott, is it time in the state of Wisconsin for we the people to go lobby because this intransigent governance of gerrymandered Republicans against the Democratic governor means nobody's satisfied? Could we go lobby both sides for citizen referendums, binding sorts? Your thoughts, Scott Ross.
Okay, I'll take the first part first. The first part first is yes, I believe that the maps are so clearly unconstitutional that they will, that if we get a progressive court majority, that will be overturned. On your second thing, I'm a little more scared than you are, you know, because referendum costs money. And, you know, that scares me about whether or not, given all the might that business has and the Republicans have, would Democrats be able to compete? That's not to say I don't think it's not a bad idea because like this government is completely and totally unresponsive to us, the legislature. But if we change the maps, that might change it too. So I'll hold it out. I'll hold out. You got some points, Mike.
Scott Ross, our pal, thank you so much once again, man. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Who doesn't love laser tag? iCombat gives you that and so much more. It's a real-life video game experience. iCombat's perfect for birthday parties, special events, corporate team building, or just blasting away at your friends. iCombat at 1023 Spring City Drive off Sunset. For more info, go to iCombatWaukesha.com. iCombat is a proud sponsor of the Black Shirt Football radio broadcast. Gear up, squad up, prepare for iCombat laser tag.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
AP News, I'm Ben Thomas. More details on Tuesday night's mass shooting that killed six in Chesapeake, Virginia. Our Mike Hempen has them.
Investigators say the Walmart supervisor who shot and killed six co-workers left behind what he called a death note. Andre Bing blamed others for mocking him and said he wishes his parents would have paid closer attention to his social deficits. Bing also said he did not plan the shooting, but that, quote, things just fell in place like I was led by the Satan, unquote. Co-workers who survived the shooting say he was known for being difficult and for being hostile with employees. Police say Bing legally purchased the 9mm gun he used the day of the killings. He had no criminal record. Bing died at the scene of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. I'm Mike Hempen.
Residents of Colorado Springs are reassessing things after last weekend's mass shooting at a gay nightclub. State Representative Leslie Harrod says she had hoped the city would have aged out of hate.
Of transphobia, of racism, of, you know, of homophobia. We're not going to just age out of it.
In fact, she says some are breeding it. Her answer?
We have to actively teach a new narrative. We have to actively embrace people who are different than us or those who are just like us and see us for who we are completely. Colorado Springs should lead that now.
In his nightly address, Ukraine's President Vladimir Zelensky says the number of people without power across the country has been halved, but that leaves 6 million still experiencing blackouts, the result of Russian strikes. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says the alliance's commitment to Ukraine is unwavering.
Allies are providing unprecedented military support, and I expect foreign ministers will also agree to step up non-lethal support.
COVID-19 numbers are trending upward in the U.S. The CDC's tracker shows cases and deaths on the rise. This is AP News.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you. Or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. A lot of stormy songs. I even got a Stormy book today. I was given a gift, the Stormy Daniels book, autographed. I don't think it was the real Stormy Daniels, though.
Yeah, I got a couple old Stormy DVDs you can have if you want, Curdy. I don't have anything I can play them on.
I bet they get real sticky in certain spots. Thank you to our most recent guest, a fine one, Milwaukee County. Corporate counsel Maggie Dodd. I laugh only because you're laughing, not because.
No, we love Maggie. I mean, I could have gone
serious
with Maggie for
ass kicking guest, and yes. You know, if she didn't seemingly have that look of intensity towards future White Claws. I would have kept her on. But she kind of looked at me back, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what that look means. I'm staying for longer. So, you know, I punted, Dom. I punted.
That's all right. That's all right. We love us some Maggie Dawn. Thank you, Maggie.
Hopefully, you know, by leaving, you wanting more, you'll come back the next time she's on. And, you know, we want you to join us on this show.
Yeah, the audience.
Early airing of the grievances. Poor Tom's been holding for a long time at 844-967-2789. Tom, what you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm a big Maggie fan, but I got to tell you, I think I'm the number one Chris Taylor fan. Now that the Devil's Advocate network is spreading all around Wisconsin and not just in Dane County, a lot of people might not know Chris Taylor as the chief defender of the First Amendment back in the days of the crackdown on the solidarity thing.
Well, yes. I remember, I believe, Dom and I got arrested on July 23rd, and Chris Taylor was one of the first state lawmakers. I believe her and now State Senator Melissa Agard might have also been there. But Chris Taylor, and she had some angst on her face because we didn't know if the Capitol cops would have arrested state lawmakers. And she went down and she sang in the very same rotunda where they were arresting others, but not Chris Taylor. Amazing how that worked. And
yeah, weird how the long haired guy with flip flops and shorts, I get arrested, but the state senators does not.
Well, Dom, if you'll recall the second day, the day we came back, and Tom, you might recall this, I had a blue banker suit. I had my ticket sticking out of my lapel pocket, and you, Dom, were wearing every press credential you'd ever been issued in your entire career.
Press credentials.
And he walked around and talked to every Capitol cop and said, "Do I look like a reporter now?"
Yeah, definitely. When you guys, I would definitely encourage your listeners to Google Solidarity Voice Project. That's the documentary that they made about that time. In fact, Gritty, I think you're in it. Your arrest is in that documentary. It's a really short thing there, but it's basically Chris Taylor and Melissa Agard both are on that, talking about the fact that the First Amendment should not be shut down by Republicans. It's a great little lesson, and it's nice to send it out, you know, because it's been a long time. It's been a decade.
It has been, Tom. A decade. It feels like a long time when you say it's 10 years.
I know, but come on. I mean, you know, the Republicans are all about, you know, government overreach and oppression and da-da-da-da. And there literally here is Scott Walker, Wisconsin Republican, sending the police to arrest people singing silly songs that are critical of the governor because he doesn't like it. And you're going to say that all these other things are government oppression, but then this is the behavior that the Wisconsin GOP engages in? Come on.
You know, I'm not sure every caucus Democrat was supportive of the solidarity sing-along movement, the different individuals that would show up about noon every day to sing at Scott Wanker. But we always did. We loved those guys and girls and people. You know, they're people. 844-967-2789. Some say the best kind of people. Kind of like Robert from West Dallas. How you doing, Robert? Welcome back.
Hey, Robert.
Good. How are you guys?
Excellent.
My grievance is Georgia with this stupid 1% rule. I mean, how many times does Raphael Warnock have to beat these guys at the ballot box? Right. You know, it takes a lot of effort and resources. You know, if people want to help, that's obviously welcome, whether it's phone calls or contribution, whatever it be. The nice thing is if they get that, they'll have subpoena power. So as much as these guys in the House say they want to investigate everything, they need to remind themselves that we win that seat, then we can investigate, you know, members of Congress that maybe were involved with planning January 6th. So just something to keep in mind. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Well, hey, thank you, Robert.
You, you too,
thank
Robert.
You, man.
Real quick update. It just keeps coming out. A Business Insider reporting. The second woman who said Herschel Walker forced her to have an abortion stated that the Georgia Republican Senate nominee caused her collateral damage by denying the existence of their six-year romantic relationship. All I can do is tell the truth, and I'm telling the truth, and Walker knows I'm telling the truth. The woman who goes by Jane Doe in an effort to protect her identity said at a Tuesday press conference led by her attorney, Gloria Allred. This is what Warnock's up against. You know, the guy who forces exes to have an abortion. You know, the family values GOP mega Republican candidate.
844-967-2789. Damn it. Oh, well, it's because
he interrupted me. Say it again.
No, I'm not doing it.
844-967-2789.
Dominic, real quick, before we get to Dick and other callers in the queue, Herschel Walker, do you see he dropped a new campaign ad against Warnock?
I did not.
Within hours of the Colorado Springs, Colorado, the club shooting, he dropped an anti-transgender ad in Georgia.
Sounds about right.
Little bit of the reporting. A CNN guest on Tuesday slammed Georgia Senate candidate Herschel Walker for releasing an ad targeting teen transgender athletes hours after a gunman murdered five people at the LGBTQ club in Colorado Springs. After host Don Lemon played a clip of the Walker ad, he brought on Los Angeles Times reporter LZ Ganderson to discuss its poor timing in the wake of the deadly attack in Colorado. Granderson started out by noting that it was strange to see Walker spending time talking about transgender athletes when polls showed voters are more concerned about issues such as the cost of living. Anyways, here's the statement. I'm confused because as you look at the exit polls, the issues that are on voters' mind, number one, obviously, is the economy. How do you put food on the table, paying for gas inflation? Number two is abortion. Well, he can't go down that road, can he, Dom?
I mean, sure he can. I mean, there's no shame.
Well, Dominic, following down from that are issues regarding security, safety, education. I did not see very many voter stress, confusion, or anxiety regarding trans athletes competing in sports. Granderson then suggested the ad is a sign that Walker has little else to run on against incumbent Senator Raphael Warnock. This seems to be a manufactured issue from Herschel Walker, who had nowhere else to turn because he has no credibility discussing the economy, because we understand his business dealings, and he's surrounded by controversy regarding abortion, and where else he gonna turn? Hate. That's what this ad is. Hate. That's all he's got left to run on. The black Republicans got a hate on the transgenders, because that's all that's left for him to appeal to, what, Republican-based voters?
I mean, I just don't get it. I'm the atheist here. I don't believe it. Raised Catholic, but you know how that went. That's why I'm the atheist. But I remember lots of talk about love thy neighbor. You know, hey, turn around and shake people's hands, like all that stuff. Really? And
peace.
Then they go to the
peace
hate
to you, because, right? Peace to your neighbor at the Catholic
Church. Yeah. Peace be with you. There you go. Yeah. Shake the hand, all that kind of stuff. And which
I was always a little weirded out, and I like meeting people, but not in church. I don't know why, but when the priest says meet your neighbor, that seems like a very inopportune time to make friends. I just don't like doing it. I'm telling
you. Well, when you're forced to, I guess on that note, let me just throw this out there from the Raw story. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints confirmed Monday that the Club Q shooting suspect was a member of their church. Of course, we know that this suspect killed five people, at least at the time, and injured two dozen more. Colorado Springs is a conservative community that is home to groups such as Focus on the Family and the Family Research Council, which has been labeled a hate, which both have been labeled hate groups by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And I love Colorado, man. I mean, once we started going out there, once legal weed became around, of course, I was a tourist and went out there quite a bit. And I didn't know what to expect. And when I found out like how Colorado Springs really, really was, I mean, wow, talk about conservative. And where's the love, man? I mean, if you're going to worship a God that says, man shall not lay with a man, you're going to stick to that one. But again, bring it up. You find with the wools and linen mixing, also Leviticus. And don't even get me started on the shellfish. All right, but this is the one that you jump on. And this is a terrible situation. And if you read in the reporting of this in the New York Times and Washington Post, some of the people that fought back, and a veteran specifically, ran across and tackled the guy and, eventually beat him with his own pistol, to my understanding. And one of the drag queens came over and started stomping on the dude with her heels. And this all went down in a matter of seconds. So there, and they've come to find out, like, this person, this assault, the killer, from some of the reading I've seen, you know, went through, you know, terrible bullying as a kid. Apparently the guy is about 300 pounds as described in the New York Times, taken down by this army veteran who was, you know, just beside himself, went through his own trauma in Afghanistan and Iraq, and, you know, had to come home and deal with this.
And it was his daughter's boyfriend was one of the victims.
I mean, just absolutely terrible, and absolutely terrible. And I just wonder, you know, where's the love? You know, I mean, you claim to be all the, you know, Christians and whatever, but isn't there a lot of love? You know, turn the other cheek, love thy neighbor, take in the immigrant, all that kind of stuff. Then where is this coming from?
Something I'd point out, and I wanted to look this up, but I didn't want to get this wrong, but the Mormon Church backed the recent bill that we know Tammy Baldwin has been shepherding through the Senate. They are supportive of the same-sex equality bill, and I actually saw that as an encouraging sign. Now, the Washington Post also has some reporting that the LDS Church is supportive of the bill as long as it's free to police boundaries for its own members.
Yeah, there's religion for you, folks. You know my opinion on that. 844-967-2789. Curdy, some of the other news of the legal news today, which we didn't get with our pal Maggie Dawn. Lindsey Graham, he had to testify.
Testify.
Testify, my love.
I do declare.
Get out of it again. Fulton County had to testify, fought. A couple other issues, right? What's going on with the special master? Remember the whole documents thing? Oh, they've got to have the special master.
The paperwork
master.
Crimes for Mar-a-Lago Tom?
Yes. Yeah, the top secret paperwork crimes. Why is there a special master? Well, because Trump and his legal team have no other option but to try to gum up the works, slow it down. That's what he does. Delay. And it's seemingly in front of a three-judge panel, they're not really down for it. You know, why does the former president, who is now just a citizen, just like Crudy, just like me, just like Evan, just like every one of you, why does he get this treatment? Why does he get this special master? I mean, even the claims of executive privilege, that's not gonna fly. That pertains to the current president, not the last loser. So there's some serious headwinds going on right now today with the Trump world. Alvin Bragg, Crudy, apparently he's coming back around.
Don't even bring up his name,
what
man.
Do you mean, come on.
It's never going to be Alvin Bragg Day up in here.
If he brings the charges, it could be Alvin Bragg. And here's something I read today that I was not aware of. Statute of limitations, right? You can't charge after so long. But it only applies, the clock ticks only when the state charges, when the person is in the state. Well, Donald Trump moved out of New York, so the clock stopped ticking. So Alvin Bragg can still go after Donald Trump within the statute of limitations because it has not run out yet in the state of New York.
That's thin gruel.
Come on, man.
Putting your hopes on Alvin Bragg in a extended overtime period?
Hey, man, just any of it. If it was you or me, Crudy, hell, the fixer got charged with it. Why not Trump? I mean, if Alvin Bragg is waiting for other people to lead, I'm okay with that. Let's line them up and knock them down.
You probably are still cheering for the U.S. to win the World Cup as well, and nobody else cares.
In time, you will call me Master.
You know, honey, the guys at work tell me there's a special club we can join if we meet in the bathroom.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hump Day equals Hump Day. Greg Bach Day.
It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies tonight with lows around 36. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. Highs level off around 41. Cloudy skies expected. Partly cloudy tomorrow night. Lows around 26. Low 40s Monday. Much warmer Tuesday with highs in the upper 40s and showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. The last segment of the day, hell of the week. We're going to take off. We'll be back next week. But you can join us right now. Air your grievances. Give us something to talk about. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, maybe anti-grievances. Maybe we could be okay. Thankful for
thankful?
Something. Know what I'm thankful for? Badgers tipping off on the Civic Media Network tomorrow at 12:30. You know what? Part of the reason I won't be here doing a fine, great radio show with you, Dom.
Why is that, Michael?
Badgers, man. Dayton Flyers at Wisconsin. 12:30 tip-off tomorrow. Now, I believe that is a holiday tournament. So if they're successful, you know, they keep playing through the holidays.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think they're in the Bahamas or something. We're not there. But I'm thankful I get to listen to, you know, Badger basketball and the Badger flagship here on the Civic Media Network. WFHR is listening to them as I was driving across the state, but you can get the Civic Media app and you can listen to Badgers right here on your favorite Civic Media stations. Don't listen to the other guys. They're not as good as us. They don't love it. I'm wearing my Badger hat, man. I mean it.
You always wear the Badger hat,
well,
man.
Well, I rotate them. I got several Badger
hats. You have several Badger hats?
Oh, yes.
I
mean, yeah. Some are quite tattered. Yes. I never get rid of a Badger hat. I keep them for perpetuity. And really? I wear
so
them.
You have like a 20-year-old Badger hat somewhere in the back of your closet?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
What do you do with it? I mean, is it there yet?
They become,
play with the dogs?
They become, well, my wife washes them, and then eventually they go in the dryer or whatever, and then they get, first you start losing the brim, and
right,
then when
like
they start
warm,
tattering and whatever,
miles.
Then they become like, you know, summer project hats. And then, you know, when they get very worn, they become painting hats. And eventually, they'll just bury me in a coffin full of Badger hats. They'll all get, you know, go away. I wonder if they're biodegradable. I doubt it.
844-967-2789. Catherine from Madison. Curdy's probably biodegradable. What do you got for us, Catherine?
Catherine, happy Thanksgiving early.
Yes, and to you guys, too. I'm not calling with a grievance. I'm calling with a really big thank you. I appreciate your program so much and everything you're doing throughout Wisconsin. You guys are just the greatest.
Well,
I've been
you have excellent taste, Catherine.
74. I sure do. But I've been listening to the radio since 74. I didn't have a TV for 14 years, and I've heard a lot of programs. You've got a really great station, and you guys are just the best. But I'm calling to thank you for not mentioning the name of this perpetrator in Colorado Springs. I really appreciate that. And I think the last thing we need to do is to give them any kind of fame at all. And I'm really glad you didn't mention his name.
Well, Catherine, I let Dom make that choice, and he chose not to.
Well, I appreciate that, Catherine, and I'm with you. And Yeah, F that guy and all that hate for sure. Thank you for the very kind words. 844-967-2789. Let's squeeze some more in before the end of the show. Farmer Bill, you will be next. Happy days, Farmer Bill. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys.
I'm thankful for people that turned on their radio before they call it the greatest talk show ever.
Oh, I'd like listening to myself. That's so good. I called in last week and didn't get to my thing, so I'm going to get to my stick. And that is Michigan somehow overturned, through whatever to end gerrymandering. And so I'd like to shift that focus to Wisconsin. And have you guys done any research? How can we do like Michigan and gerrymandering and have a good Thanksgiving?
Thank you, Farmer Bill. Best to Sarah and young Farmer Finn. Here is the only way it worked in the state of Michigan, as I understand it, Dom. Citizen-led referendums.
A ballot initiative, yes, binding referendum.
The We the People movement, and I've mentioned this, Dom, and wait till the new year because I'm going to hammer this point, Farmer Bill. I think that it needs to be revisited here in the state of Wisconsin. We've actually asked Maggie Dawn. Maggie Dawn's quick opinion was effectively, this has not been visited. Binding citizen-initiated referendums have not been visited for 100 years in the state of Wisconsin. And with the current legislative gridlock, we've obviously got a gerrymandered legislature. We've got a Democratic governor, and it leaves both sides wanting. We, the people of any political stripe, are not going to get what we want. So get behind this new movement, citizen ballot initiatives here in the state of Wisconsin. If we don't get behind it, it's never going to happen. I mean, you and I, Dom, because we are the movers and shakers this state needs. And we would need legislative action. That means we need Republicans. But understand, Republicans are not going to get a hell of a lot of what they want, Bill. Republicans are going to be deadlocked with Tony Evers, going to veto it all, right? So they aren't getting it either. So how do you go around the veto and governor? Well, citizen initiatives, binding referendums. But to make it so, we need a constitutional amendment. It's got to pass through the legislature twice, and then they would put it before a binding citizens referendum to change the Wisconsin Constitution. Last time they did that, Dominic took away the Chief Justice chair from Shirley Abrahamson.
Or we could just, elect a less conservative Supreme Court justice come next spring, and they could overturn the gerrymandered maps.
I'm not clear that the state... I would like to think in those terms. I mean, I would love to hear that because we care a lot about the next election, the February primary. Right now, there are at least three candidates. Dan Kelly, the very conservative former Wanker appointee, he is going to run. We know that Everett Mitchell, who is a district court judge here in Dane County, he has announced his candidacy. And we know that Janet Protasiewicz, and I hope I'm saying that right, Judge Janet, who I was introduced to directly by current Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Dallet, who apparently supports her. But I am less clear, Dom, even with the turning of the Supreme Court, even if we successfully turn the majority 4-3, because Patience Rogensack, one of the worst of the conservatives, she's the one that stole the Supreme Court, the chief's thing away from Shirley, but she's been the chief, and she is not running for re-election. And if we win the balance of the court, I'm still not clear that the state courts have the power to overturn the gerrymander, because it's run all the way up the flagpole to the U.S. Supreme Court prior. And my memory was that Kennedy let it happen. Gerrymanders, they're politically acceptable to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's my understanding. I don't know that the state courts can overturn it. We, the people, need to do something about it. Thank you to Judge Chris Taylor. Thank you to Attorney Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. If only we had either of those smart women to ask that question right now. But now you'll have to Google it or Ask a friend. Ask your crazy uncle.
Tune in next week. We'll find the answer for you. Hey, come back for the answers. That's what we provide all the time.
We'll be back on Monday. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Eat lots of turkey and watch some football. And Badgers on Civic Media.
Politics will.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, and our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.